Yeah, yeah. Well, off we go to St. Kilda. Maurice Misolowski, the author, actually, aren't you? Hello.
Hello. You're called many things. An author's an interesting one.
Well, Maurice has been on a creative journey, and I like the way you just sort of disappeared, metaphorically, and then, boing, up he comes on social media. I'm an author. Tell us what's been going on.
An epiphany. I kind of think that... we've been talking a lot over the past couple of months about how, for whatever reason, I have the writing bug again. Great. And I've been writing a whole lot of blogs and pieces in my usual vernacular of what's going to happen in the future for clients and audiences.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've wanted to do forever and ever, this is therapy, maybe I should get a couch and we should get a cup of tea, that I've wanted to do forever is to have a go at writing nonfiction.
Okay.
Is to actually write a book set into the future. And for whatever reason, a couple of weeks ago, I thought, why not?
Start let's somewhere.
Let's just give it a crack, as we say. So I've taken the first step into it, and that is to look back through literature at some of what I think are the really interesting titles that might lend themselves to a future change-up. Oh. And then to have a go at rewriting them. And I released the first of them last Friday, which is at my blog or at LinkedIn, if you wish to read them either. It's called The Getting of AI.
MauriceFuturist.com. There you go.
That's the one. And it is based on The Getting of Wisdom.
Mm.
Now, The Getting of Wisdom, I'm hoping it's translated outside, but is very much part of the Australian vernacular. It was a book that was written in 1910. By somebody called Henry Handel Richardson.
Okay.
And it speaks, the original text, speaks about a young girl who is from the country, whose parents had fallen on relatively hard times, but still had a little bit of money left. And she was a bit hard and rambunctious.
Mm-hmm.
And they decided, as was often in those days, to send her off to school so she would live there, boarding school.
Yeah.
And, of course, at school she has all sorts of adventures and learns all sorts of things and mostly at the end decides that school really wasn't all that kind to her and wonderful and that the things that they had told her about God and the way she should behave in the world really didn't play themselves out when she got there.
Okay.
So she had this epiphany moment. The Getting of Wisdom, it's a really interesting book, I think. It was written, as I said, in 1910. I think it's interesting because of its subtext too, before we get to my twist on it.
Yeah, go on.
Because I've said to you it was written by Henry Handel Richardson, but it wasn't. It was actually written by Ethel Florence Lindsay Richardson.
Okay.
Because in 1910 it was very difficult, almost impossible to get published as a female author.
Oh. That sounds great. Go on.
So she had to take on a persona, and she wrote for her entire life with a title on it anyway, as a male. So there was that great pretense to begin with of who she was and what she was doing. And she was, again, an Australian novelist, which was hard as well. I mean, you know, going into an international market. So there are all kinds of things that were pushed up against her. I kind of like that background, that she had to change her own way of thinking. She had to pretend to be something else.
Cool name, though. Henry Handel, spelt the same way as the composer.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
But interesting. And so that's where it came from. So my twist on this is called The Getting of AI.
Okay.
Well, I read you the first paragraph.
Give us whatever you want.
That's what you do with book readings, I think.
Go for it.
Although this is digital, so I'm not sure. But anyway, it starts off by saying, Ellie stood at the intersection of two worlds. It was 2054, and she was a bright but somewhat socially awkward teenager navigating the complexities of a future where AI had become as common as the air she breathed.
Mm-hmm. That's great. A bit more. Come on.
Well, next power, and then we'll go on. In this world, classrooms were driven by AI. Algorithms predicted career paths, and social interactions were often mediated by augmented reality and machine learning. Elle had been selected to attend the prestigious Academy of Cognitive Integration, where human and AI learning merged into a single curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go on to talk about, or I go on to talk about her life at school, how she was taught to live as a incredibly wonderful, gifted human being with a great push to AI. She was selected because she had the ability to work really well and closely with artificial intelligence, and how at school they had harnessed that in her and taught her to really rely on artificial intelligence. And, of course, hopefully, as you know by now, I push against that in my story and come to this awakening in her where artificial intelligence is really just a tool and not much more than that.
Mm. You know, the film of this would flick between the two eras. It would have to.
Yeah, Yeah, it did. And there's a line in there, I mean, there's lots of them and I'm a bit biased, but there's a line in there where I've said that she realised that while AI could guide her, it couldn't lead her.
That's words of wisdom indeed.
Oh,
I mean, it's the absolute truth, and it's something that people have been, you know, everybody's got, oh, be careful, with caution, da-da-da-da-da. But those words are actually lovely and to the point.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you. So it goes on and talks about that. And behind all of this, it's actually a style that I use in my workshops and have for a really long time.
Okay.
And that is often if I come in, depending on the group, if I come in with a whole set of, you know, flashcards and this is what the future looks like and this is what we're going to talk about, their eyes glaze over, you can imagine.
Exactly.
But if I come in with a narrative like this or like a similar one, and I usually tailor it towards the group, so it might be a comic, it might be a bit funny, it can be whatever, but I do it often on a twist of something that they're aware of, mm-hmm. so already they have a predefined opinion of what that text or what that piece might
be. So your advice would be always hook it to something and something they might not expect.
Yeah, I think it's much easier. Much, much easier because there's less grappling with it. They kind of have a premise. And the other thing that does for me in workshop is it takes them from what they know and what they believe because they've already got some opinion and some thoughts around that and to stretch them into, well, is that necessarily the best way to behave, to think, and is that going to stand up into the future? So these sets of books that I'm or novels that I'm now reinterpreting, and I'll write a couple of them. I've actually written a few along the way as well in the last couple of weeks. Pick up on that premise of taking an idea and really taking it into 2050, putting it into a landscape of what I think 2050 will realistically look like, and then walking through that with some characters to figure out what's important and what we might do.
I think this is a brilliant way of doing it, especially for younger people probably, because you give them context, you put them in the space. How closely do you stick to Richardson's kind of style?
Oh, basically not. I pinched the title because I loved it. It was one that I thought, it's one that I've used for a long time, the getting of wisdom, you know how much I love that word. And the getting of AI to me, you know, is always a juxtaposition. So I definitely stole her title and I, you know, plainly admit that and have used, well, the character's name is actually different, but have taken her premise, and that is that a child goes to school in order to be taught something that her parents think are important, and at school they try and instill that in her, but she understands a future for her may not be best with that kind of learning or interpretation.
So what's the takeaway for her? It's going to be different to the original book, that's for sure.
Yeah, it absolutely is, and it is pretty much around what I said, and that is that it can guide her, but it's not going to be, you know, the be-all. It talks in there about a project that she has to do for school, and the expectation is that she will base it heavily on artificial intelligence. It'll be full of all wonderful learnings and be annotated and do all the things that it should do, and she realised in the writing of that didn't make sense. She began to put a whole lot of human emotion onto it because the outcome of what she wrote about, which was that the world was going to end, basically. It was all bleak and terrible because the data and the case studies all pushed towards that. When she pushed her human intelligence into that same space, used the data wisely, she began to speak about this might be the way that it is headed, but as humans we can offset that and do something different. She was ridiculed by that, for that, by her fellow students and the teachers, didn't do very well in class, but sticks to her guns, and that's the story summarised.
Yeah, that's sci-fi 101. She had the audacity to believe that being human would put her out in front.
Yeah. Isn't it good when you can plagiarise and copy from others?
Well,
but I mean that in the best sense. I mean that in the best sense, Phil. That really is what it is, and that is often our conversations in one way or another. It's often the conversations I have that the future is not predetermined. There might be some, depending on who you believe and what you believe, there may be some notion of that, but we always have some semblance of free will to decide what we wanted to do, and we shouldn't just necessarily agree with the common thinking and common vernacular. Doesn't mean it's wrong, but let's come to that opinion ourselves rather than just accept it.
So do you have the opinion at this time that people are just leaving AI to it and believing everything it does and tells us?
Yeah, pretty much. I have a real fear that that's where it's headed, that what I am seeing a lot of is that people will use artificial intelligence now, accept all of its prejudices, and there are a lot of them, and that's because AI is taking from a pool, and whatever that pool is what it's feeding back. It doesn't know any more, it doesn't know any less.
Well, it's a good storyteller, and occasionally likes a good conspiracy theory. Certain models do, anyway.
It does. It does. And you know, the really interesting thing about this is that I'm actually relying on AI a lot to write these.
Yeah.
I'm also using a whole lot of... I'm doing a whole lot of graphics, so I've turned these into a kind of a novella in a strange way.
The graphics are great, Maurice. Would you mind telling us how you do it really briefly?
So I'm using ChatGPT, which I've been playing with for a long, long time, and I've played with how to do this particular thing for a couple of weeks. So it wasn't a straight off.
Yeah.
I've gone back and I've searched through the titles that I'm interested in, the ones I want to write. I've worked with AI, literally asking it to ask me questions, me asking it questions about my style, my tone, the things I want it to do. We've practiced it. We've literally practiced it. It's been very much like a sidekick to me. I've had discussions with it. You know, what about this? How do we change that? How do we do this? I always push back, though. I'm asking it to build me a statement, which I'm constantly doing.
Mm.
And that statement goes back to what we said a few weeks ago, which is that great new career, which is the ability, you know, that engineer career that we talked about, the lead engineer.
Yeah.
It's going back to that. And what I'm asking it to do is to generate me a series of codes and statements that hold it true to what I want to achieve so I can replicate it. And I've done that over a period of weeks. It's still fighting me, but I'm managing to push it back. And I've been writing quite heavily in the last 4 or 5 days. I sit here and I write a novel about artificial intelligence, arguing with artificial intelligence about how best to write it. And I think that is just delicious. It's incredible when I stop and think about that.
I think you should if I were you. You're on a complete departure here, which is absolutely brilliant. I mean, you've talked about AI for a while, but it strikes me you've got your sleeves up with it now.
Yeah, yeah. So I very, very much like the fact that I'm using it to write with. I understand that people will be yelling and say it's not authentic, but I'm finding it actually is. I'm not accepting, and this is not about me, but this is the way I've chosen to use it. I'm not accepting what it's giving me, but I'm allowing it to write the grunt work. So to write the premise, to write the structure, to give me, you know, some bits and pieces, and then I'm going through literally line by line and analysing it, telling it to change it, put this in, I'm putting my own words in, my own twists. But it really has shortcut it for me. I also am loving the fact that I know it's a machine, I know it's artificial intelligence, but having something to bounce off, I'm finding really liberating too. It's making me think about it in different ways. So for me, it's been a really useful tool. It's allowed me to write some material, and I'm about finished on my next large novel, which will be fairly large. We're up to about 15,000 words now. I'm going to release it in a few different weeks. So the first one will be this Friday, and then most probably two more Fridays, three sets of Friday.
Have a look at what he's doing, morrisfuturist.com. You won't miss this. I'm curious to know if you've developed your own little language with your particular model.
I have. I think I very much have, and I like the writing style. I'm sure somebody else is doing it like this, but I've not seen much evidence of people actually writing novels in this way head on. And also with the graphics, as you said, so what I'm doing is every chapter, every half a chapter or so, it's not like a cartoon, not quite a graphic novel, but I'm going to include a picture which summarizes what we've just done every couple of paragraphs or whatever. Yeah. So it'll be a mixture of both done by AI. I'm hoping it'll be an interesting one. The first set of this will be this Friday, apart from the one we just talked about. Would you like to know what the title is?
I would, yeah.
So this next one is about Frankenstein with AI at the end. So instead of EI, Frankenstein, it'll be Frankenstein, A-I-N. And I've taken it on a complete journey, literally from birth to trying to figure out what the hell it's doing on this earth, through the lab, through the years of 2050, and being really deliberate about putting it into 2050.
There are so many parallels. I mean, that one topic, that one book.
Brilliant.
So look for that. For the first few chapters of that this Friday.
Fabulous, Maurice. And finally, do you give any examples? Do you sort of get into the teaching side of it on your blog, where if I said, I'm interested in how Maurice does X, Y, and Z, or are you keeping that to yourself?
I can do. I didn't know I was that advanced that I could teach, but I'd certainly, I mean, always love a chat from the listeners. Just email me, DM, whatever you want. Happy to work you through it.
That's brilliant. Thank you, Maurice. We'll probably carry on this next week. Maurice Misolowski, as always, live from Australia. It's going to be cloudy.